This is The Exchange on Iowa Public Radio. I'm Jonathan Aull, in for Ben Kiefer. Iowa is one of the leading producers of biodiesel fuel, but federal tax credits supporting producers lapsed. The U.S. Senate voted last week to revive the tax credits, but in the interim, a plant in Keokuk closed and was auctioned off for pennies on the dollar. Now the Iowa legislature is considering a measure that would mandate all diesel fuel sold in Iowa be blended with 5% biodiesel. Today we'll talk about the state of biodiesel and the merits of public subsidies for the product. We'll hear from an investor in the closed plant in Keokuk, the state senator pushing the mandate, and a supporter and opponent of that proposal. That's coming up on The Exchange after this check of news from NPR. This is The Exchange on Iowa Public Radio. I'm Jonathan Aull, in for Ben Kiefer. A tax credit on biodiesel fuel that expired back in December pretty much shut down that portion of Iowa's renewable fuels industry, although the U.S. Senate has voted last week to try to extend the dollar-gallon tax credit through the end of 2010. That's created a ripple effect in the biodiesel industry in Iowa, a major player in the biodiesel industry across the country. Today on the program, we're going to talk about the biodiesel industry, efforts to revive it, and should it continue to be subsidized by the government? And what role does Iowa play in supporting the biodiesel industry? Joining us on the program in this segment is Al Moender, former sales and marketing manager for Tri-City Energy in Keokuk, and an investor in a plant which was auctioned off in January. Also, Senate President Jack Kibbe, who's sponsoring a bill that would mandate that all diesel fuel sold in Iowa be mixed with 5% biodiesel. Gentlemen, welcome to The Exchange.
Good afternoon.
Let's start with you, Mr. Moender. Can you tell us a little bit about the plant in Keokuk and the timeline and how quickly this plant went from being operational to suffering from the lack of tax credits?
The plant was actually conceived and started working towards developing in January of 2006. At that time, there were four private investors here who originally had the concept and the idea, and the plant was constructed in what was formerly a General Mills wheat processing plant, actually located downtown Keokuk, Iowa. And at that point, it was a private offering, and in 2006, there was a very, very positive mood surrounding biodiesel, and it seemed to be have a very, very positive future. So with this private offering, in a very short amount of time, 72 investors, most of them from the Keokuk area, put their money towards this, and we started developing the plant. In March of the following year, 2007, we had our first product come online, and that's when we started sales. So that was, at that time, we were very excited about what we were doing, had, I think, a tremendous opportunity, but shortly after that, things started to change within the world and within the industry.
And can you take us through then the shutting down the plant and its auction and how that happened?
Okay, it was actually a series of events that led up to this. This did not happen overnight. We were producing and selling fuel in the summer of 2007. And at that time, if you follow the soybean market, prices completely went out of sight. They skyrocketed from a cost of around 16 cents per pound, and that's how we buy our soybean oil. At 16 cents per pound, at one time it reached 72 cents per pound. So with that, it completely inverted the market. We were still able to cripple along, and we held on as long as we could. And the dollar blending credit, as it's referred to, was something that was at that time, one of the things that helped keep us alive. But by the end of the summer, it was almost impossible to cash flow. So the plant was At first, we relied on some additional types of feedstock because our plant was capable of accepting two different types of feedstock, either animal fat or soybean oil. And basically, any form of fat could be treated and converted into biodiesel. So we crippled along for a while, but eventually it caught up with us, and we went into foreclosure in late last year, in 2009. Fortunately, none of the tables turned. It was impossible for us to get back on our feet and get caught up with some of the bills. So our primary lender that held had secured loans on the company did foreclose, and an auction was set up, scheduled, and the plant was auctioned off then on January 20th.
So if the federal credits had been extended and hadn't expired in December, would that have had a significant impact on the plant in Keokuk?
It would, indeed. It's going to take a more than just that. But at that time, to have that dollar blending credit, it would be mandatory in order to make it a profitable situation.
Senator Kibbe, can you talk a little bit about your bill and what you're proposing to try to help the biodiesel industry?
Well, the bill we passed last year in 2009. Of course, 2009 bills carry over into 2010 because it's the same General Assembly. We passed that in a bipartisan vote in the Senate and went to the House, and the House has been discussing it. It was too late last year when they got it. So they've worked on it this year. Movement has been very, very slow. The petroleum marketers, which is backed up by the oil industry, oppose a renewable fuel standard in biodiesel. This bill is copied after the Minnesota law, which has been in effect for several years. And it's got exemptions in it for off-road vehicles and whatever. It also gives the Department of Agriculture to waive some of the provisions. We got great federal standards now that these plants have to meet in order to get this quality fuel. We're also paying these petroleum marketers an Iowa tax credit to promote this fuel. In my opinion, they're not doing that. And so under the renewable fuel standards, in my opinion, we do away with those tax credits. We need that money to support our schools. The Magellan Pipeline come to us last year when we were debating this bill, saying give us another year so we can get all our terminals upgraded to do this jet blending of biodiesel. And, of course, I don't believe they've done that. They've got the plant up at Clear Lake. That terminal is upgraded. Most of those fuels are going to Minnesota, and I don't believe there's the trucking industry and the big truck stops. They're opposed to this bill, and we got to remember that diesel engines today that are marketed today are capable up to B20. And they'll be warranted up to B20. We're only talking about B5.
Talking about the percentage of biodiesel mixed with regular diesel fuel. Okay,
that's right. And, to me, our farm fields, whether it's ethanol or biodiesel, are our oil wells in Iowa. And we ought to be using our oil out of our fields to do our transportation. And so it's deadlocked with the petroleum marketers and people that don't want us to require renewable fuel standards. You got 14 biodiesel plants out there in Iowa paying good-paying jobs. This federal credit was kind of a stumbling block. As the gentleman said, the high soybean prices and soybean oil going up there was a stumbling block. But since then, these oil prices have come down considerably. They need to be able to use more feedstock. The main thing is you got to promote this product. You got to have a petroleum marketer out there that's going to advertise this product and have it available for the consuming public. And they have not stepped up to the plate on that issue. Everybody is for renewable fuels, but they don't want to step up to the plate, in my opinion, and use them. And Iowa should be there's no better state to implement this renewable fuel standard than in Iowa.
Mr. Moender, if we can get you to comment here, you talked about a lot of things that led to the Keokuk plant struggling and ended up going into foreclosure. If this 5% mandate had been in place and the federal credits were in place, would that have prevented this, or were the other issues that you mentioned too much for even these things to have saved it?
No, it would have definitely helped towards keeping our plant alive. If you think of 5% of...
Well, I understand help, but would it have definitively been the difference, do you think?
Yes. I'll walk out on a limb and say flatly yes, because 5% of the diesel, for instance, if RFS, or the Renewable Fuel Standard, had been passed and put in place, there then becomes mandates, and by federal law, we're looking at up to 20% of our national consumption of foreign oil would be replaced with biofuels. And we use almost 60 billion gallons of fuel in this country in just 1 year. And to have just a 5% blend on that then creates a tremendous market and that would have, I believe, saved the industry.
Senator Kibbe, we have about a minute before we go to break. Could you maybe, to what extent do you think the government, federal and state, have a responsibility to support biodiesel, and to what extent does that need to be dictated by the free market and private interests deciding if there's a real market for this?
Well, there's an education process that needs to take place. The fossil fuel industry is substituted all the way from the oil wells to the ships, to the drilling, to the pipelines, to the fuel tanks of trucks. And that story is not being told. All you hear about is the federal and state subsidy for this industry. And so if we'd done away with the federal subsidies on fossil fuels, this industry could survive without any tax support. But that's not the case. And so it's an education process, in my opinion, and we got to get the people that's selling these motors and driving these trucks and the dealers promoting this product, and that message has got to be relayed to their legislator on how this fuel is environmentally a huge safeguard for, as the gentleman said, to meet the federal standard as well as the air quality standards.
Senator, we'll get back with you in just a minute. We have to take a one-minute break. We'll be back in just a moment. More on biodiesel coming up here on the Exchange on Iowa Public Radio. This is The Exchange on Iowa Public Radio. I'm Jonathan All in for Ben Kiefer. We're talking about biodiesel in this hour, talking about the federal tax credits that expired in December, hurting a number of plants across Iowa that make biodiesel fuel. Also talking about a proposal in the state legislature to mandate that all diesel fuel sold in Iowa contains 5% biodiesel. Senator Jack Kibbe, the Senate president, is one of our guests today and is the author of a bill that is proposing this mandate. Senator, we were talking right up as we left into the break, your point that if biodiesel just enjoyed the same level of support that the petroleum industry does, you believe that it would be economically viable on the same level?
Yes, I do.
Do you have any concern that especially in areas like the Quad Cities or Council Bluffs or Sioux City or Mason City, where there are gas stations right on the other side of the border, not too far away, that there would be a decrease in the amount of diesel fuel sold in Iowa if there was a 5% mandate?
Well, it goes back to the education process, and I'll predict that that crude oil is going to go higher, and if we can compete with biodiesel, the engines has been proven. The diesel helps those engines. That's like on the ethanol side, There's 28 states that use more ethanol than Iowa does, and we need to change that with biodiesel. And it's proven that it works in Minnesota. Minnesota weather is just as cold as it is in Iowa, or colder. And so I don't know that argument over if the oil companies own the oil stations, they're never going to want to use a product out of our farm fields. They want it out of their wells.
Senator, I'm just wondering philosophically, is there something special about alternative fuels, or would it be appropriate for the government to get involved, in the state government to get involved in mandating Iowans use a certain percent of Iowa-made products and services for everything? I don't want to take this to its illogical conclusion, but certainly you could say businesses, all, you know, 5% of all of your accounting services have to come from accountants who are in Iowa, or you could say that you could take this to an irrational conclusion, I suppose.
Well, we have a lot of, if you want to go out that far, we got 17 casinos in Iowa, and in order to get a license in Iowa, they got to buy everything that they use for that service. They got to buy it in Iowa. You know, there's other examples out there why we ought to use more Iowa products. And this the ag economy is based on renewable fuels. Land prices are what they are because of renewable fuels. That's who we are as Iowa, raising crops and convert them into renewable fuels.
Let's bring into the conversation now a couple of people who have some opinions on this proposed mandate. Randy Olson is the executive director of the Iowa Biodiesel Board and joins us now as well. We also want to thank Delia Meyer, Iowans from Consumer Fuel Choice and of I-80 Truck Stops, who is also on the line with us. Randy and Delia, thank you very much for joining us on The Exchange today.
Thank you.
It's nice to be here, Jonathan.
Let's start with you, Randy. You've heard the discussion over the last 20 minutes. What are your reactions to what you've heard from Senator Kibbe and from Al Moander?
Well, it's certainly a shame that the Keokuk plant has had to go through the challenges that it has. You know, we've worked on developing a renewable fuels industry in Iowa, particularly biodiesel in this case. And it's really important that Iowans and legislators who campaign on renewable fuels step up and support the industry to make sure that we can keep it here. Other states all across the country are envious of our biorefinery processes we have in Iowa. Both governors in Florida and Ohio have made public pleas to develop infrastructure for biorefineries and these types of industries that we've developed here in Iowa for the businesses to move to those states. And it's really important that Iowa legislators realize that there's competition out there for these value-added types of refining processes, and we need to do things to keep them here in Iowa.
Delia Meyer, your reaction to what you've heard so far.
Well, as a retailer, you know, I live and die by having customers buy from me. So our most important thing is we have to be able to offer a product that people want to buy. And I'm not saying that they don't want to buy biodiesel. In fact, we've been carrying biodiesel for over three years. So we have been one of the early supporters, a very big supporter of it. The issue is not necessarily with that, but we have to provide a product that's competitively priced with all of the states around us, with Illinois, with Ohio, with Nebraska, Missouri, you name it. A truck can travel 1,000 miles. At least all trucks can. And so it's very easy to bypass a small state like Iowa. So really, you know, it's about choice, and because they have lots of choices, they have the entire country. And so I think that Iowa really cannot put a bag on their head and say, I only have to worry about Iowa. We need to be competitive in the whole country, and we need to be competitive globally. And that's really the issue here, is competitiveness.
Delia, your gas station sells both biodiesel and regular diesel.
No, and I think that's probably a big mistake that people have. Diesel is only a one product. It's not like gasoline where you get to choose whether you have ethanol blend or not. Diesel is just a one product system. So if you're selling biodiesel, you're selling biodiesel. If you're not, you're not. The customer, when they come up to the pump, they do not have that choice. They choose, they go to different stations based on what their choices are.
Isn't that something that could be changed?
Well, you know, that would take hundreds of thousands of dollars at every
station. So cost prohibitive?
It's just not set up that way, you know, at this point. And, you know, this, I don't see that happening.
So if cost was the same, an Iowa diesel fuel that had 5% biodiesel mandated mixed into it was the same price as a gallon of regular diesel in any surrounding state, do you think that would have any significant impact on your sales?
I think if everything's the same price, if biodiesel and regular diesel are the same price, you know, then it's a non-issue. But that is not what this mandate required. It wasn't even addressed, the price of biodiesel. Right now, biodiesel is, you know, over a dollar more a gallon than regular diesel. So when you mix it at a 5%, it actually adds 6.6 cents. You know, as of yesterday's pricing, you know, that's 6.6 cents higher at a B5 level. So it's a significant difference in the price. When you drive up to two different stations or three different stations and you see one is 6 cents more, 6.5 cents more, you know, do you pull into that place? No, nobody does. We all go for the cheapest thing.
Senator Kibbe, we have you on the show for just a little bit longer. Can you address Delia's concern there?
Well, her concern is the price. I guess they got away. The truckers got away the efficiency with the biodiesel and the advantages of biodiesel and whether you know I've seen reports where they get better mileage with biodiesel. I don't know the facts. I'm not a trucker, even though we own trucks on our farm. But those are issues that, of course, the truckers are going to. But for them to say it's a lesser product, that's the issue that keeps us from moving more biodiesel.
Is that there's a perception that biodiesel is not as good as regular diesel.
That's correct.
That is an issue that we will tackle in the second half of this program. We're going to take a quick break to check Iowa Public Radio news. When we come back, though, we will have more on this discussion with Randy Olson and Delia Meyer. Senator Kibbe and Al Moander, thank you very much for your time, and thank you for being on the program.
You bet. Thanks for calling. Bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
In the second half of the program, we'll also take your phone calls and emails. You can call us at 866-780-9100 or email us at theexchange@iowapublicradio.org. We will take your calls and emails in the second half of the show. This is The Exchange on Iowa Public Radio. I'm Jonathan Aull in for Ben Kiefer. We'll be back in a few minutes. This is The Exchange on Iowa Public Radio. I'm Jonathan Aull, sitting in for Ben Kiefer. Biodiesel fuel, is it a good idea? Does it require government subsidy? Should people choose to use it instead? We'd love to take your phone calls and emails on this topic. You can reach us at theexchange@iowapublicradio.org or 866-780-9100. Continuing to join us in this half of the program, Randy Olson, Executive Director of the Iowa Biodiesel Board, and Delia Meyer from Iowans for Consumer Fuel Choice and the I-80 truck stops are joining us. We did get an email. Mark Ely has written in and says that he's used 100% biodiesel in his diesel car for 7 years, reports that it's cleaner and works better than petroleum diesel. Iowans should support the homegrown energy, he says, for diesel vehicles. Petroleum has been at the root of environmental problems, balance of trade issues, and defense spending to safeguard the flow of oil. Mark says that the choice issue affects Minnesota just as much, and it seems to work there. Let's start with you, Randy. Your response to Mark's email.
Well, it's great to hear success stories out there, and we certainly thank Mark for his use of biodiesel. Frankly, he's found it at a retailer, evidently, and that's one of the big issues that we've got and why this legislation can be so powerful for the state of Iowa. The B5 standard, Senate File 464, would require that 5% biodiesel is available at every pump in the state of Iowa that pumps diesel. And you get to all those benefits from cleaner burning to lessening our dependence on foreign oil. And that really mitigates the charge earlier that pricing differentials from pump to pump would be serious, because every pump in the state of Iowa would have the 5% biodiesel.
Delia, what's your take on that?
Well, number one is I don't really consider my competition across the street. I don't really compete against Iowa stations. I compete against Illinois and Indiana and Nebraska and Wyoming. I compete 1,000 miles every direction from me. So Iowa being falsely an inflated price puts me at a severe disadvantage and will cut my business, 30%, 50%. I have no idea. I have never priced myself 6.5 cents out of the market. I don't know how I'm going to sell any. So I think, I am a good biodiesel customer now. I think this bill actually jeopardizes your existing customers and hurts them.
Yeah,
Randy, go ahead.
We appreciate the leadership that companies like Delia's have shown by stepping out to offer biodiesel, and it's there's certainly a small handful of retailers across the state who have chosen to make those business decisions. I guess I can only report in terms of lost sales what's happened in Minnesota as a result of the since the implementation of the mandate in Minnesota. And the Minnesota Department of Revenue says that diesel sales have remained consistent with overall fuel sales in the state. That indicates that truckers aren't bypassing Minnesota due to the biodiesel requirement there. I think there's so many benefits to using more of our fuel here in the state, and the requirement is one of those ways we can do it. As I mentioned earlier, virtually every legislator has supported reducing our dependence on foreign oil throughout the state. But Senator Kibbe is the only legislator who has offered any piece of legislation to get us towards that goal of reducing our dependence on foreign oil. And so for that, he deserves a great big thank you. And we'd certainly be open to working with anybody that's looking to help us move more of our homegrown product.
Let's take a call. We'd like to go to Toby in Iowa City, who has a question. Toby, welcome to the Exchange.
Thank you. Hi. When I first moved to Iowa, one of the things I had to face was calculating whether or not ethanol blended fuels was worth it. I mean, in the sense that ethanol has less energy in it than, gasoline. It's 10 cents cheaper per gallon. You work out the math and it works out okay. So I'm wondering whether biodiesel has less energy in it than petroleum diesel, so I can do the same math.
That's a great question, Toby. And, all of our customers across the board, and I believe the study that just came out said that there is a decrease in the efficiency of biodiesel. It's not more efficient. That is certainly true. I think everybody agrees on that. So, it needs to be the exact same price of diesel, to make it worth your while to use it.
Randy, do you agree with that?
Yeah, but you're offering biodiesel, Delia, is that correct?
Yes.
Well, my point is biodiesel performs equivalent to pure petroleum diesel. And in fact, the standard for diesel fuel the technical standard for diesel fuel right now allows for up to 5% biodiesel to be included, and it meets the standard. It is just pure diesel fuel, up to 5%, and that's all this legislation is dealing with.
I'm not sure if that's true. I don't think there's been any studies about the efficiency of it at a B5 level. It meets a standard, but a standard is just saying it will, you know, it contains this amount of product. It doesn't, I'm not sure those two things are related.
Toby, let me ask you a question. If it doesn't cost the same, if biodiesel were, factoring in miles per gallon and cost, was more expensive for you, is there any argument that would make you think that biodiesel was the right thing to do and you'd prefer it even though it may cost you a little more?
I take that into account as well. I mean, all I'm looking for right now is a little bit of raw data. I'm not quite sure what the answer to my question was.
I mean, neither am I.
Again, just to back up a sec, ethanol has less energy in it. I don't know about efficiency. That's not the word I was looking for. It's energy.
Okay.
I mean, you get less horsepower out of a car that's running the same air-fuel ratio when it's got ethanol in it than gasoline. And so, okay, I'm not getting as much energy from a gallon, but how much did it cost? And so that's my sort of completely rational side of it, and then I'll bring in the issue of where was this fuel made and the politics and all of that. So I'm just trying to find out how much energy is in a gallon of biodiesel compared to a gallon of petroleum diesel.
Randy Olson, is that information readily available?
Yeah, about 2% less efficient. Biodiesel is about 2% less efficient than diesel fuel on a gallon-per-gallon basis.
100% biodiesel is 2% less efficient than 100% petroleum-based?
That's correct. Let's see here. The study, actually, we should refer this to B20, which is a study for Decker, and we saw a 2% decrease. So on a B100 basis, it'd be slightly more than that. But, you know, you also need to compare that there are differences in feedstocks. So, for instance, an animal fat, which is an increasingly popular feedstock choice for biodiesel producers, has a higher cetane value than soybean-based biodiesel. However, it also has poor cold flow properties, so you don't see as much animal fat blended biodiesel in the winter months. But in the summer months, the cetane value, or power, is actually higher than soybean oil and very comparable, and in some cases, beyond where petroleum diesel is. So it's not just a simple calculation of corn ethanol versus gas standards. Because of the varying feedstocks and different additives that petroleum companies add to their diesel mix, it's not just a quick and simple, you know, 10% reduction in the case of ethanol, for instance.
Let's take another call here. Keith from Iowa Falls is on the program. Keith, welcome to the Exchange.
Yeah. I guess I still just am amazed that the biofuel advocates continue to say these subsidies are necessary. If it made sense economically for us to be using biofuels, we would do it. We have that choice. To me, subsidized food burning is not the road to peace and prosperity. Okay, never has been anywhere else. Now, is it good for Iowa? Yeah, probably. But look at the massive subsidies funneled into this particular industry. As far as the environmental benefits, I don't see that either, because it takes huge amounts of petroleum in order to subsidize, you know, this or this form of farming to fuel our SUVs. I just don't see it. I can't believe that grown-ups are still debating this issue.
Well, now, Keith, I don't know if you heard earlier on the program, but Senator Kibbe made the claim that if biofuels enjoyed the same subsidies that the petroleum industry enjoyed, that it would be just as economically viable.
I disagree with that. That's absolutely wrong. Per gallon, the subsidies enjoyed by biofuels are way in excess of petroleum. Now, I would also say we should eliminate those subsidies for petroleum, too. Eliminate them.
Delia?
Level the playing field.
Delia, what do you think about that?
You know, I'm not aware of any subsidies on to oil you know, I don't really know where that's coming from.
There are subsidies on oil. There are no question about it. In our tax code, there's all kinds of complicated subsidies in the petroleum industry. Those should be stripped out too. Let's level the playing field. I have no problem with that.
You know, I think the issue is really about a 5% mandate in Iowa, and what will that do for Iowans, and what will that do for the cost of fuel? What will that do for our businesses here? And I, you know, we're not going to be able to remake the entire federal government. You know, that needs to be coming from somewhere else. The real fear is that Iowa, you know, does something that puts it out of the market, and we become a dead state, a drive-through state that nobody buys in, and that it's hard to do business here. I think that, you know, one thing did come up was Minnesota, and they were talking about how they have not lost volume. And I would argue, I've got the numbers right here in front of me, at the same time that, you know, Minnesota lost 15 million gallons since their mandate, you know, at that same time, Iowa has gained 94 million gallons. So Iowa has benefited by not having a mandate, being next to a state that has a mandate. So I'm sure all of the states around Iowa are quite excited that we might have a mandate, because they stand to gain significantly, just like we did when Minnesota put their mandate in effect.
Now, Delia, if it was a federal mandate, it, not just the state of Iowa, but if it was the entire country had a 5% mandate on this, would you be supportive of it?
You know, anything that happens at the federal level that keeps me on a level playing field keeps me competitive. And so, you know, I really want to support, and we have been supporting this industry significantly over the years as much as we can. But the only reason I can sell fuel is when I'm reasonably priced and the cheapest. So, you know, doing things at a state level is dangerous, and it will kill us immediately. And, you know, it will create a wasteland in Iowa.
Randy, would you like to respond to some of the things that Delia said about the Minnesota demand issue and some of the other concerns about a level playing field from state to state?
Yeah, well, I just I find it incredible that Iowa doing 5% of anything, particularly one of our own homegrown products, would create a wasteland across the state, and would kill a strong and successful business like the I-80 truck stop overnight. To me, it doesn't add up. I think that you know, the public policy benefits of supporting 5% of a product that we refine here far outweigh any perceived difference in price. And in fact, it's not always the case that biodiesel is more expensive than petroleum diesel. You know, we've done looking at the pricing over the last several months as this debate has heated up. And in February, I can't remember one of the dates, maybe the 22nd of February or so, diesel fuel in Minnesota was actually cheaper than diesel fuel in Iowa. And in Minnesota, there's a 5% requirement. So there are so many different factors that go into pricing of fuel. You know, if biodiesel was so out of the market price-wise and so uncompetitive, I'd find it surprising that any retailer would be selling it currently. And yet, you've heard on this program that they are. So
they're selling it at a much lower level. They're at a B2 level or a B3 level where it's only a couple of cents out of the market, not at a B5 level where you're 6.5 cents out of the market.
Well,
you know, some things can be absorbed, some is too much.
Delia, I'm sure you do extensive research in your customer base. What percentage of the diesel fuel that you sell is sold to people that are on from out of state, and that you have some reason to believe are on a trip that extends across many state lines?
Thank you for asking that. You know, virtually all of our customers are going interstate, so it's going from state to state. Their loads have originated in Chicago, and they're on their way to Denver or California. You know, there's not a lot of load origination right around us where they would need to stop right away. So our traffic is, they're going somewhere else, and they came from somewhere else. They have lots of options, and they are fantastic shoppers. And they also have computers right in their trucks that tell them the price of fuel at every single station along Interstate 80, for example.
Let's go to the phones.
So they know. They just have to keep on going.
Larry in Wall Lake is on the line. Larry, you have a question for Delia.
Yes, I do. You know, back in 1977, the Department of Energy was formed to stop our dependence on foreign oil. And I'm just wondering, other than biodiesel that's out there, what other fuels are out there to help Americans be less reliant on foreign oil?
You know, I'm not sure how to answer your question. I think biodiesel has a real future. And I think with the federal mandate, we're currently, it goes up 150 million gallons this year. It's at 1 billion gallons, which doubles by the year 2012. So there's a significant federal mandate that's also working to help this industry. I think price. I think that in 2007, when the price of fuel was very high, biodiesel was a great, it was all the rage. And so, again, it's competitively, getting that product competitively priced is the way that we will get the usage up. And, so when the price is the same, it will, you will not be able to supply it to get enough of it. It needs to be, the same price as diesel.
Larry, I think that that Delia's point is that, and Delia, correct me if I'm wrong, but that she's supportive of biodiesel. She just doesn't want to have a mandate where her fuel is 6 cents higher than it is, 20, 30 miles to the east in Illinois.
Correct.
We're going to have federal mandates, and so I think that the discussion of mandate is kind of moot.
Well, Larry, then shouldn't it just wait for should the state back off and let the federal mandate be the one that, so that it's fair, that's the same for every state?
Absolutely not. We lead the nation in the production of biodiesel, but we're only eighth or ninth in the consumption of biodiesel. And I'm a firm believer in supporting our own products and not having it all exported outside of our state.
Well, and Larry, you're an Iowan, so you believe that way. But if you live in Indiana and you're a long-haul trucker going to Colorado and you're on I-80, do you care whether you're supporting Iowa or not? Or do you stop and buy fuel that's 6 cents cheaper in Illinois on your way to Colorado?
Well, first of all, if I'm in Indiana, I'm probably going to drive through Illinois where I'm going to buy fuel that has 11% biodiesel in it. If I'm driving through Iowa on my way to Minnesota, I'm going to drive into a state that's got a 5% biodiesel in it. So, I'm having a hard time understanding this drive-through argument that's going on.
Well, that might be hard for you to understand if you're not a trucker. But if you're a trucker or a trucking company where your profit is calculated in cents per mile, and so a 6 cent increase in your diesel fuel and your fuel cost comes out to a penny a mile with current mileages on trucks. And so if you're making 2 cents, that's your profit, you're going to voluntarily give one of those cents half of your profit, when you wouldn't have to just by fueling in another state.
Let me just go back to my original question, which was making us less reliant on foreign oil. It was said that I'm an Iowan. I've been an Iowan for 5 years, but I haven't always been an Iowan. I worked in the petroleum business for 25 years, and I moved to Iowa 5 years ago specifically to work in this industry because I thought it was best for our country. I just want to find out what we need to do as not just manufacturers but as consumers to live out the philosophy that we like to espouse, and that is that we don't want to rely on foreign produced oil.
Larry, I think we understand that your motivation of trying to get away from petroleum-based products is greater than some of your concerns about prices, and I think that's something that a lot of people feel that way as well. Let's try to get one more call in before the end of the hour. Alicia and Carol is on the line. Alicia, welcome to the program.
Thank you. I just wanted to bring up a point or ask a question about something that Randy said at the beginning, that states like Florida and Ohio are proactively seeking out the biofuels industry. They're proactively looking to continue to invest in the biofuels industry. And so I guess my question for Ms. Myers would be, if you're not looking for a biodiesel mandate, what would be your recommendation to help Iowans use more biodiesel? Or do you think that we should just stay the way that we are?
You know, I think there's an existing tax credit on biodiesel. I think securing that for a longer period will help. I think expanding that credit to include more users into it so that the price is more, is more competitive, I think that's a great choice. I think working with the federal government is also a great choice because it doesn't single out one state and make them uncompetitive, and it doesn't jeopardize states, jobs here in Iowa. That's what I would recommend.
Unfortunately, that's all the time we have for the program. I want to thank all of our guests, all of our callers, a lot of great discussion. Thank you very much, all of you, for your time. We're out of time. That's The Exchange. I'm Jonathan Aull in for Ben Kiefer.